Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And a good Sunday morning to you. Happy Easter. And happy Easter to you too, Dr. Hilden. Good morning.
Good morning, Danny. Happy Easter to you. It's a kind of an unusual Easter, but to all listeners out there, those of you who are maybe wishing you could be with your families, happy Easter to everybody.
Yes, we have, for those listeners outside of the area, we have snow falling this Easter Sunday morning.
Yeah, you know, Danny, I'm looking at the snowflakes that are a little bit white. They're against the dark blue of the Guthrie Theater in downtown Minneapolis.
Nice contrast.
Those of you who know downtown Minneapolis know the Guthrie is a riverfront structure. It's dark blue, and I've moved out of my own home for a week or two, even though my own home is only 4 miles away. My daughter is back from Los Angeles, and since Los Angeles is a bit of a hot spot and she had to travel to get here, we're quarantining from each other for a couple of
very
weeks.
Good.
So there I am. I'm staying a few blocks from the hospital, which is in, of course, downtown Minneapolis. So out of one window, I'm looking at the Guthrie. Out of the other window, I'm looking at U.S. Bank Stadium. So it's a little different look for me here, but it's good to be with all of you, and I hope everybody's having a good weekend.
And this is another, for those just joining us, this is another open line show. I know, Doctor, as you know, we'll be answering questions a lot about the virus. However, if you have other questions, other general health questions for Dr. Hilden, you can certainly call them in or send a text. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. And you know we tend to get busy, so call in or text in your question, 651-989-9226. I know a little bit later we'll be joined by another colleague of yours.
That's right, Dr. Caitlin Eccles-Radke, who regular listeners will know has been on a couple of times before. I thought we'd ask her to be on, and she has graciously accepted, even on this Easter morning. She'll call in the 7 o'clock hour. She's an infectious disease expert. I'm a generalist. She's an expert on this stuff, and she is in charge of infection prevention at Hennepin, at HCMC. And so she'll be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. So if you have a question for an infectious specialist, she's sort of our COVID expert. And not only that, she knows everything there is to know about masks and this virus and the like. And so I thought she'll be joining us at 7. So I look forward to that.
Now, what about this past week since we've spoken? What has happened in your life at Hennepin?
Well, this week's been really busy for me. And I know most people are home. They're doing their social distancing and getting caught up on home projects and all that. But for me, I've been in the hospital every day this week. And we're starting to ramp up just a little bit, and our intensive care unit is almost full, not entirely, but almost with patients, most of whom have COVID, and so we are seeing a few more cases. Although I'm very optimistic about Minnesota, I couldn't be happier to be from Minnesota than I am now. And I know there are people listening all over the country and indeed the world streaming the show. But for those, the majority of us here in the upper Midwest, we can be very, very happy, at least in the state of Minnesota, that we're dead last. We are last in the number of cases per capita in the United States. We're like 51st out of the 50 states in the District of Columbia.
And that's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's where you want to be last. And
yeah.
And it's not just because we're not testing people. So nobody has enough tests. none of our neighboring states have tests. And I have good friends in healthcare systems in all of the surrounding states, both the Dakotas, Iowa, Wisconsin. The case positive rate in Iowa and in Wisconsin and in South Dakota is nearly double that of Minnesota. We're about four positives for every 100,000 tests. And in those neighboring states, it's almost 8 or 9. We're about 4% of our tests are positive in the state of Minnesota. About double that are positive, around 8% in our neighboring state. So it's not that we're testing fewer. We're literally having fewer positives. And we have a very large metropolitan area in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so despite the fact that we have a huge metropolitan area, our test positive rate is relatively low. There's really only one explanation for that. That was early social distancing and early closure of our facilities. It's so painful to people, Danny. You know, it's so painful for people to be home. There's such an economic disadvantage. There's economic, just absolutely awful things happen to people. But it is literally resulting in the saving of countless numbers of lives. So it's one of those trade-offs. The number of lives we're saving in the state of Minnesota by what we're doing is incredible. And so it's hats off to everybody. And to my friends in my neighboring states, you're doing a good job too. But the social distancing is simply so important, even in rural areas of the state. And so I think that's sort of an Easter message around coronavirus. There's great hope for us here in the upper Midwest. There's really great hope that we're going to get through this thing and we're going to be stronger at the end.
That's so good to hear. I know with a few times I do get out, which is rare, we try to kind of stay away from each other around the house too. But when there it is a necessity to get groceries, let's say, I'm noticing that there are more people wearing masks these days.
Yeah, there are. I went into a local downtown grocery store, and they were doing it so correctly. This happened to be a Trader Joe's, but I was really proud of the way the public and the staff were doing it. Staff had masks on. Most of the public had a mask on, and they had everybody standing 6 feet apart in the line to get in the store. They were limiting the number of people at one time. They were washing each cart in between people and giving wipes for people. You know, people are doing it. They're doing it. The masks help you from spreading it to your neighbor. And so it's really important. We're wearing them even in the hallways of the hospital now. We're having most everybody has a mask on now, so that's encouraging as well. It feels a little weird, doesn't it?
But, it really does.
It's the right thing.
651-989-9226. If you're just joining us, so this is another open line show. Your general health questions, it could be about the virus, certainly, and I know we'll get plenty of those. 651-989-9226 for the doctor, or send a text, the same number applies, by the way, 651-989-9226. I know we have to break here momentarily, doctor, but the text came in a bit ago saying, once off the ventilator, is one cured?
Good question from that texter, and the answer is generally yes. Cured is you're not out of the hospital yet, you're not out of the woods yet, but when you come off the ventilator, you generally go to a regular hospital floor then for several more days as you regain your strength and your shortness of breath gets better. And most people, but I have to emphasize not all, most people then, once you're off the ventilator, you're doing much better. It is interesting. A ventilator does not mean you're going to survive. The unhappy part of it is that even with a ventilator, the majority of people who get that sick don't make it. And so the ventilator is your only shot when you get that far. But for those who come off the ventilator and are breathing on their own, we're discharging them from the hospital to their homes, and they're surviving and they're going on. So yes, and they'll probably not get it again. So that's the good news for them. They are doing well, those who we discharge from the hospital.
All right, very good. Let's take a break. As we head to this break, please call in your question for the doctor or text in. Same number, as I said, 651-989-9226. It's an open line show on Healthy Matters this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCU. Yes, it is snowing here in the Twin Cities. Our temperature reading 33 degrees. We're in the midst of a winter weather advisory. You stay tuned to News Talk 830 WCCU. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. This is our open line show today, helping you out, answering your questions by phone and by text. We already have both, Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226 for either the phone call or text messages. Would you like to go to the phones right now, Dr. Hilden?
Yeah, that'd be great, Denny.
All right. Judy in Stillwater has been waiting, I believe. Judy, thank you for waiting. And what is your question?
I understand that this COVID virus multiplies in your nasal passages, and so I was wondering if there'd be a protective barrier such as Vaseline that would be useful.
Judy, say once again what the protective barrier that you were suggesting.
Vaseline.
Oh, Vaseline. Oh, thank you. There's no evidence that the Vaseline would do it because you probably couldn't, and I'm speculating here, Judy, you probably couldn't get it down low enough. You are correct that the virus is in your nasal passages, but it's also in your pharynx, the back of your throat, and it's in your airways, in your neck, and it's in your airways lower down in your lungs. And if you get really infected, it's lower in your lungs. And if you're an asymptomatic carrier, it's probably up higher. But in any case, you can't prevent it from shedding out of your airways. And if you were to cough or you were to sneeze, it's going to go out of your mouth anyway. Your idea is it makes some sense. If you could only keep it a barrier in, that would be just a lovely thing. But that's not going to be an effective way just because it's in areas other than your nose. It does bring up the point of how it gets spread. It gets spread through the moisture from your nose and your mouth and your throat. And so that's why coughing and sneezing are so important, an easy way to transmit this thing. But you can get it even talking and even breathing. Or like if I see runners and bikers along the Minneapolis parkways, they're exhaling it when they're running and biking. And so it's a good idea, but I don't think it would be effective. Thanks for that call, though, Judy. It's a great idea.
Thank you, Judy. 651-989-9226. Let's go to Hutchinson, Minnesota. I think Glenn is waiting there. Glenn, you're on with the doctor.
Yeah, that last lady, what are the odds? She kind of touched on my question. I was wondering, in the machining world, we have like salves and creams you can put on your hands if you're working in EDM fluid and so forth. And that's what I was going to ask. These salves and creams, they're pretty, they'll stay on even when you're working in some kind of not so good chemical or oils and such. And that's what I was going to ask the doctor. How about just putting like a hand lotions on and stuff like that? How does that, what would you say as far as, does it kill it or would it stop it? And then here, lo and behold, that last lady asked the same type question. You have a good day, you guys.
Thank you.
You have a great day as well. Maybe it's because great minds think alike, whether they're calling from Stillwater or whether they're calling from Hutchinson. Glenn, it's an interesting idea. It is funny. Every time I want to know something about how to put a barrier protection for the human body, like on the hands or something, it's usually somebody from the machining world or somebody who knows that kind of stuff. They usually have some product they use. It would probably not protect against this virus, however. It's an interesting idea, but the virus doesn't live all that long on your hands and on your skin. It does live many hours, but it doesn't live forever on your hands. And so it wouldn't probably work for that. And like I was saying before, you just can't coat your entire nasal pharynx or your oral pharynx, your nose, your throat, your mouth. It's all in all of that. And so I just don't think you could probably do that. That's why when a person wears a homemade mask walking around your community, the whole idea of that is that when you do expel this virus in your breath or your cough or your sneeze, you're coughing it into your own mask. And so it only goes a few inches or a foot away from your body. Whereas if you cough or sneeze, it's going 6 or 8 or 10 feet away. And so that's the point of the mask. That's the best barrier I think we can come up with in this day.
651-989-9226. This is an open line show this morning. We promised, as you know, Doctor, other questions we could answer too, besides the virus question. Here's a blood pressure question, and then I know we have to take a break here in about 2 or 3 minutes. Our texter says this: I have high blood pressure. I take Losartan, 50 milligrams, 3 times a day. I believe they're spelling it as the water pill, 50 milligrams, 3 times a day, and Lasix, 20 milligrams a day, and my blood pressure is still up high, 140s to 170s over 80s. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm not overweight. Any suggestions?
Yeah, for that texture, when your blood pressure goals are less than, for everybody, 140 over 90. So this person isn't all that bad, although that goal is actually a little too permissive for most people. We'd love it to be less than 130 over 80, or even 120 over 80. But especially in some older adults, we allow it to be a teeny bit higher. So your blood pressure isn't terrible if it's in the 140s, but it could be better. And so the Losartan is a good drug to continue taking. I would simply, and the water pill you're on may or may not be the most effective blood pressure medicine. You might be taking it for some other reason as well. But I would probably go to your doctor, or in this day and age, do a telephone visit with your doctor and see if they might want to add a different medication. Not replace the ones you're on, but add a new one. Most people who had well-controlled blood pressure on one blood pressure medicine have to add a second or even a third as you get a little bit older. It's extremely common to have to keep adding blood pressure medicine. So that's what I would recommend for that that person.
I don't know if you've heard this at all, but a texter said they have heard that people in China, Korea area, who have had the virus and recovered are getting it again. Have you heard anything like that?
I haven't heard anything definitive, so I shouldn't speak out of school here. Sure. It is possible to get it again, but we don't really know. In general, you don't get something you've been immune to once, but there's a lot of different strains of this thing, so it's possible that people could get sick again, but there's no real evidence one way or the other. We think you probably have immunity, but we're not sure of that. We simply don't know.
Just a reminder to our listeners that we have another hour of the show coming up. And if you have a question for the doctor, again, you can call it in or you can text it in, 651-989-9226. I know we have to take a break here in about a minute, but for those just joining us, who's going to be joining us in the coming hour?
Yeah, Denny, at 7:05 roughly, when we come back on, we're going to have Dr. Caitlin Eccles-Radke, who is an infectious disease expert. In the meantime, I encourage you to go to the blog site that I write. I'm doing a little diary. That's at myhealthymatters.org. Every few days, I put up just a little two-minute read about what's going on in my life at the hospital. That's at myhealthymatters.org. And we'll be back after the top of the hour with Dr. Caitlin Eccles-Radke.
Very good. Again, we have another hour coming up. If you want to call in your question, or if it's easier for you to send in a text on this Easter Sunday morning, by all means, it's the same number, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. 33 is our current Twin City temperature reading. I mentioned earlier, at least here in the Twin Cities and other parts of CCUL, and a winter weather advisory. How much snow, daytime snow, maybe 3 to 5 inches today here in the Twin Cities area. Light snow and fog and mist. Right now, our current Twin City temperature reading is at 33 degrees here on News Talk 830. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters, our extended version on this Easter Sunday morning. Dr. David Hilden answering your questions either by phone and by text. And I know we're going to get underway and we have a special guest coming along, but a couple of things you wanted to mention before we do pick up on calls and texts.
Absolutely, Daddy. Good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, happy Easter. I hope you find a little bit of time to be at least virtually with your family today. It's a snowy day in the upper Midwest, so maybe being at home isn't going to be so bad for today. So, Daddy, I was going to just give a shout-out to a few people today. I'm working in the hospital, and so I'm walking in the hospital hallways every single day. And, you know, everybody looks alike now, which is kind of funny. You know, we all have scrubs on. Everybody's got a face mask on. Many people also have a face shield on. And a lot of people even have those kind of medical hair nets on. So kind of everybody looks alike. It's all we have is our eyes. And as I've been walking through the hallways, three different registered nurses in our hospital. Three different nurses stopped me and said that their family members are listeners of the show, and they'll be listening today. So I thought I would just give a shout out to the family members, the parents and grandparents of three nurses at the hospital. The first one is Lisa and Jose Villegas. Lisa and Jose's daughter works in our cardiac medical intermediate care unit. And then Rochelle Graham, their daughter also works, or her daughter also works in our cardiac medical intermediate care unit. So Rochelle, thank you for listening, as well as you, Lisa and Jose. And then Ile Ray lives in Rosemount. I don't know her last name, but her daughter works in our surgical trauma unit. And so I saw, or no, I think that's her granddaughter. So all three of those family members of nurses at Hennepin, you should know that your family members are indeed heroes. The nurses of the hospital are they're the beating heart of the hospital, and they are the ones who are right there on the front lines. I get to work with them, and they are simply true professionals. So you should be so proud of your family members. And then lastly, we have a longtime Healthy Matters listener named Jeanette. Jeanette lives in, I think it's South St. Paul. I first met Jeanette at the state fair at about, I don't know, 10 years ago, when her son Glenn wheeled her up to the WCCO booth in her wheelchair. And I've got to know Jeanette over the years, as have my parents. They've got to know Glenn and Jeanette. Well, Jeanette's not doing so well. She's in a facility in the South Metro there, and she's her health is failing. But Jeanette, if you are listening today, I want you to know that we're thinking of you. Your Healthy Matters family is thinking of you, and you are in our thoughts, and you are definitely in our prayers today, Jeanette. So thank you for being such a good friend to the show, and I hope you're doing okay this Easter morning. So it's just a few shout-outs to some Healthy Matters listenings, and happy Easter to everybody, including those folks there. Now we have our guest, Dr. Caitlin Eccles-Radke, is on a different phone line. Dr. Eccles-Radke is our medical director of infection prevention, which is a position that exists well before this virus. We didn't just make it up now. Every hospital has such a person, but that job be just skyrocketed in terms of importance at the hospital. And so she has been part of our hospital's incident command structure for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and she's an infectious disease doctor, and she would be one of the hardest working doctors at the hospital. So she has agreed to get up bright and early and call us in by phone and help me answer your health questions. So I'm not in the same room as her, but Caitlin, I hope you're on the line, and thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Dave. I am. I'm happy to be here. Happy Easter and Passover to everyone this week, and I will second your shout out to all the nurses and their family members at the hospital. They are really pretty incredible.
Yeah, they are. It's just people don't know how anxiety producing this whole thing is. It's anxiety producing for everybody. But imagine being a nurse at the front lines of this thing. I don't even like the word front lines. It's too militaristic, but it's kind of the truth in this case. And I look at them, and you look at the nurses in the eyes, and they look at they're so caring, and they courageously put on their PPE, and they walk into these patients' rooms to do their jobs. And truly, I just can't say enough about nurses, not just nurses in the hospital at Hennepin, but nurses everywhere. They're the true heroes of healthcare. Are you having a good week in the hospital, Caitlin?
Yeah, it's been busy, that's for sure. There's always a new challenge in things, but, you know, that's what we're here for. So we're happy to do it, and, you know, everybody's working hard together, so I really appreciate that.
Well, Denny, we're ready to take some texts or some phone calls from listeners. Both Dr. Eccles-Radke and I are on the lines and ready to go.
Very good. We have callers. We have texters as well. 651-989-9226. That's for either a phone call or your text messages. Now let's go first to Pete in Robbinsdale. I believe Pete is on the line. Pete, you're on with the doctors.
Yes. Good morning. I'd like to ask the doctors, how does this pandemic end? I can't get my mind around the fact that we're doing well because we're hiding in our caves. But as soon as we come out of our caves, all it takes is one person to start the reaction again. How can we do it without a vaccine?
That's a great question, Pete. I'll just give a comment, and I'm going to turn most of these questions over to Caitlin. I think that's a really good question. How do we re-enter society? It's not just like it's miraculously going to be gone May 4th, is it? Caitlin, what would you say to Pete?
You know, there's a couple things that I think are going to help us. He mentioned a vaccine, but that's a ways out. So, you know, we're thinking a little bit more short term right now as to how things are going. And I think what will happen is the whole goal of keeping people at home is to, we know that there's still going to be infections and people are going to get sick, but we want to be able to take care of them in the hospital and not have too many people sick at once. And so part of what I think should or may happen is that the governor will start to lift restrictions little by little for certain groups of people. And we know that people will still get sick, but again, we want to have the capacity, the equipment, the ventilators, the PPE to take care of these people. I think the other thing that's going to help us and what the stay at home has bought us time to do is build up our testing. And so we are kind of more and more working with different lab companies to build up our testing. Because if we can know who's positive and who's negative, it's a lot easier to quickly quarantine people who are sick and keep healthy people away. And then the second thing from a lab standpoint is there's a lot of development going on around what we call serology or antibody testing. And what that is it tells people if they have antibodies to the virus because they've been sick from it or they've seen it and maybe didn't know. And what we're learning more and more in the near future is going to be around, are those antibodies protective in people? And if they are, you know, some of those people who have already been sick can potentially re-enter real life, if you will, moving forward. So I think there's a lot of things we're learning in time with this stay-at-home order that hopefully will allow us the ability to slowly get back to normal life rather than being quarantined for months and months and months.
Caitlin, I went and I saw one of our colleagues at who works for Hennepin Healthcare. I saw this person in the hospital and somebody who happened to be positive and has recovered and has cleared the virus. And I told this person, I want to stand in line to get your serum. I want your antibodies. So I think the antibody testing is going to be, I think it's going to be a really helpful tool in the not too distant future, hopefully yet this summer or even later this spring. And then not only that, there is some chance that the antibodies could be a treatment if you got someone else's antibody. So that's kind of an interesting development that the stay at home and this slowing of things down allows us to do all those things. Denny, I believe we're coming up against a break here. Is that the case?
Yes, it is a real fast break, and then again, we'll be back with more Healthy Matters. Call in your question or text it. We have a bunch of both, and we'll get to it when we do come back. 651-989-9226. Again, there's a winter weather advisory for the Twin Cities today. It looks like maybe 3 to 5 inches of new accumulation today. You stay tuned to News Talk 830 WCCO. It's 33 degrees with light snow, fog, and mist, and we'll be back. And good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters, another open line show today. For your questions for the doctors, 651-989-9226. Doctors, we have a bunch of calls and many text messages as well. I'll tell you what, let's pick up on some phone calls. These folks have been waiting a bit. Jeanette is calling from Richfield, I believe. Jeanette, you're on with the doctors.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jeanette.
It's Janet. But
oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. We have a scheduled remodel for our bathroom, and we have two daughters that are 23 and 21 living at home, and they are adamant that we shouldn't do it. We should put it off. I mean, it's not something that has to be done. We don't have issues, you know, with our plumbing or anything, but I'm just wondering what the doctor's opinion is on this, trying to get different opinions to see what we should do. It should take like 2 to 3 weeks for it, so it's not just an in-and-out thing.
Hi, this is Dr. Eccles-Radke. I would say if it isn't something urgent, you know, it may be worth waiting. It's a really hard balance between wanting to obviously get your work done, employ people who are doing the work. And what I would probably recommend is following the governor's, you know, list of people who are essential to work. And there, those people in that business doing the construction should also be following that. So, you know, everyone has to make their individual decisions, but that's where I'd probably recommend people going to look to see who's essential or not.
Caitlin, I had a question about that because I've been asked similar things to what Janet has. What if they moved out? What if Janet and her family moved out for a few weeks? Because I agree that probably I wouldn't have people coming and going from my home right now if I were in there.
You know, I think if you're not living there and you're living in a safe, kind of isolated quarantine space away from the employees, then, of course, the worry would be just for them with each other and sort of what their situations are at home and coming together. And so for you, I think it would be safe if you were to move out and you could get your work done on your house. But the question then would be for those employees and what their situations are.
651-989-9226. We're getting questions, and understandably so, about wearing masks because this particular texter is rather confused. He or she is saying, well, some people say forget about masks and some people say definitely masks. What are your opinions?
I think there's a couple situations. You know, obviously in the healthcare world, we say for sure wear masks. But in the community and from day to day, you know, in the past people said, you know, it's probably not needed. And then with more data and literature coming out, the CDC, well, last week or so, I'm trying to remember exactly when, actually did recommend that people wear masks when they go out in public. And it's not always necessarily to protect you, but to protect others from you. So anyone who has a little cough or a sniffle or whatnot, you know, by you wearing a mask, it helps contain that to protect others. So if everyone's doing that, it's just a lot safer.
Sure. Let's go back to the phones. Ann is calling from Chaska, I believe. Ann, you're on CCO.
Oh, hi there. Thank you. Question about COVID. Once someone is hospitalized, are doctors in the hospitals in Minnesota treating with anti-inflammatory type therapies, I guess, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but basically instead of looking at it just as respiratory failure, but just an overreaction of the immune response, somebody, I guess that's my question.
That's a great question. There's a handful of different types of treatments being looked at right now in studies and anecdotal use, et cetera. One is an antiviral called remdesivir. There's a drug that's normally used to treat things like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis called hydroxychloroquine. And then to answer your question about the sort of inflammatory response, there are some what we call anti-IL-6 drugs. And all of those are being looked at in different situations for different patients based on how sick they are and what their chest x-ray looks like and that. We just don't have anything, unfortunately, proven yet. So a lot of doctors and hospitals are coming up with algorithms and, you know, looking to other places in the world and in the country who have done some of this and seen what their experiences are and really working hard to figure out what truly works and what may be hearsay.
I'll jump in. This is David again. At Hennepin, we're doing a clinical trial, just started last week, on remdesivir. That was a drug that was developed for, well, it was thought to be promising in Ebola, actually, and it did have some promise in the laboratory against earlier coronaviruses, the SARS and the MERS one, but it wasn't proven to help in people. But that's got at least it has theoretical benefit, although nothing's proven. And then I agree completely with Dr. Eccles-Radke. All the other ones, you know, it's not that we're sure they don't work, but we don't have any evidence that they do. So hydroxychloroquine would be among those as well. And so some people who take those for things like lupus, they're worried about not being able to get any because of people trying to take it for this. So More research to come on those. That's a really good question, Ann, and I think that you're going to see a lot more coming out on those in the coming months.
Related to that medication you just mentioned, Texter says they take it for rheumatoid arthritis. I've heard, Texter says, due to the shortage as people are rationing. What is the effect of taking less than prescribed?
Caitlin, are you able to answer that one? My I'll just give my comment. If you take your hydroxychloroquine, it goes under the brand name Plaquenil. If you take that for lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, please continue to take it at your normal doses and call your doctor early to get refills because you need it. It is proven to work for you. And so call your doctor to get your refills early. One of the unintended side effects of all of the hype about those drugs for COVID is some concerns about lack of enough of it out there for others. But I would never recommend you take less than your prescribed dose. I don't know if, Caitlin, if you have anything to add about that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's worth talking to your primary care doctor and your rheumatologist about other options, maybe not a lesser dose, but is there another drug or something in the meantime that would be good for you? But I agree. I would recommend taking it as prescribed and talking to your provider.
Very good. Let's take our usual break at this time, inviting our listeners to stay with us and join us. If you have a question, 651-989-9226. That's for both phone call and text messages. We'll be back with more Healthy Matters. We'll have a look at that forecast coming up next on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters. If you have any particular question, and of course, we're talking a lot about the virus this morning, as usual, 651-989-9226, and that's for both your phone calls and text messages. And Dr. Hilden, for those who may be joining us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
Thank you, Denny, and good morning, everybody. If you are just joining us, happy Easter, a blessed holiday to you. If you are in the midst of the 8 days of Passover, a blessed time with your family to you as well. I know those holidays overlap. We are talking today about whatever you'd like, but mostly the coronavirus because that's on people's minds, understandably. To help me out with that, I have Dr. Caitlin Eccles-Radke from our infectious disease department, and she's been a colleague of mine for some years now, and she's graciously been one of my go-to people for during this virus, because she has got her hands in the middle of it, literally. I just want to give one more shout out to the family members of our nurses who have been listening. In case you didn't hear, I want to make sure that Lisa and Jose, Rochelle, and Ile Ray, they are parents and grandparents of our nurses. I just want to make a family connection. Your daughters and granddaughters all happen to be women. Our nurses I saw this week, and they are proud of you, and I hope you're proud of them. And I also want one more time before in this half of the show, say a shout out to Jeanette, one of our longest term listeners. Jeanette lives in South St. Paul, and she's not feeling so well as of late, and she hasn't been able to get out. So I just want to make sure that, Jeanette, you are in our thoughts as well, and Glenn, your son, as well. So with that, Denny, let's go back to the phones and the text.
Very good. We have many. Jim, I believe, is still waiting there in Blaine to ask a question. Jim, go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, and thanks for all your wonderful work, and happy Easter. I'll preface this with 20 years ago, I had gastric bypass surgery that worked well for weight loss, so my insides are a little different. But 4 weeks ago, I ended up going to the hospital emergency room three separate times for it came on all of a sudden, intense gas pain, and they did CAT scans, seen nothing. I had the lower back pain like you wouldn't believe, night sweats, but no cough, no trouble breathing. Is there any chance that this coronavirus just stayed in my intestinal tract? Because now all symptoms are gone before any of my tests could be done.
Caitlin, I'll let you take that.
Sounds good. I'm sorry to hear you were feeling sick, and I'm glad you're feeling better these days. We do know that some people have gastrointestinal involvement with coronavirus, but it's usually coupled with other things, you know, and you had mentioned some other things like fever, pain, et cetera. It's really hard to know. And I think what's really important to remember, too, is all of the other medical ailments that people were getting pre-coronavirus haven't stopped post-coronavirus. And so I think you did the right thing by, if you weren't feeling good, by going in, getting checked out, getting worked up. And it's really hard without a test. I'm not sure if you got tested for coronavirus, but it's really hard without a test to know for sure. And this is where, you know, we talked previously about these antibody tests, and maybe down the road it might be interesting to have you do those antibody tests when they're up and running just to see if you had been exposed. But I think the most important thing is that it sounds like you're doing a lot better.
651-989-9226 is our phone number. A texter, and I know, doctors, you can relate to this, about runners and walkers. This texter says, I see 2 to 3 or more together, but not 6 feet apart. What's the risk there?
You know, there's been some stuff coming out around people running and biking and walking and things together. And, you know, I think there's sort of some mixed opinions and mixed data at this point. I think in general, if you're running with someone or walking with someone who is part of your what I call your quarantine family, if you've been at home anyways with them, I think that's appropriate. I think still otherwise maintaining 6 feet of social distancing from other people is appropriate. And, you know, maybe just taking sort of areas less traveled, you know, a lot of the bike paths and lake paths and things are pretty busy these days. So maybe think about, you know, just doing your running, your walking, et cetera, in areas that are, you know, neighborhoods that are less busy, you know, go exploring some new routes and things. Because I think we just don't know enough yet about sort of that running and walking risk.
Caitlin, did you see that research that came out? It's actually rather disgusting. They do it for Olympic athletes and the like to see how their breathing's going. And people who are running and biking have, I guess, what they're calling the slipstream, that you have a trail behind you of the moisture from your mouth because you're expelling it so much when you're running or biking. And so that you might not want to be 6 feet behind a runner. You might want to be 20 feet behind him. Have you seen any of that? Is that a real thing? That should we maybe should stay even farther away from people who are running?
You know, I have seen some of that, and I'd be curious to actually see, you know, I've seen sort of anecdotal stuff in articles online, but I'd like to really actually see the research behind it. Because you're right, some of the stuff people are saying is, you know, don't stay 6 feet behind someone. It's actually safer to be next to them because of that sort of trail of air or whatever you want to call it behind them. So I think we just need to, learn more. I don't know the answer to it, to be honest.
All right, let's get back to the phones, if you will. Brian in Minneapolis has been waiting to ask a question. Brian, thank you. What is your question?
It's a different world, but people refer to the Spanish flu of 1918. And can we learn anything from that or from typhoid fever?
I think in some ways we can, for sure, in terms of, you know, all of the hygiene and things we've learned over the years. We're living in a really different era, though, with technology and science and things that we didn't have back then. So I think this puts this into a whole new box in terms of how we're learning things, what we're learning, how we share information, et cetera. But I think we can always learn from things that have happened in the past, and I'll be really curious as we're coming through this to see sort of what we learned moving forward.
Again, 651-989-9226 is for the phone call and text message this morning. I tell you what, let's grab another phone call. I think Tom and Hamill has been waiting quite a while there. Tom, thank you. What is your question?
Yeah, Dr. Dave and Dr. Caitlin, really quick. We talked about ventilation and people on ventilators, and once you get on one of those, you're pretty much gone, like 86-90%. You're not going to recover because the disease is so bad of COVID-19. But yet, on the same token, we have Abbott Labs tests with the M2000 machine that could maybe catch it within the first 5 to 15 minutes to tell you if you're positive. So we got two sides of the spectrum there. And then, yes, kind of we're familiar with the hydroxychloroquine and the azithromycin plus zinc. Now, in the middle there, even though it's not being tested or as an effective treatment, there are those off-label uses that seem. Is Hennepin Tech or you, Caitlin, or Dr. Dave, with your family members, whoever, if they're on a ventilator or if they're caught by an Abbott lab that says they're positive, would you kind of recommend hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin and zinc to at least quell it off?
Thanks, Tom. I'll start then, let Dr. Eccles-Radke comment. About the ventilator, it is true. I think people do need to know that a ventilator is not a certainty that people who are very ill will survive. But without one, you're almost certainly not going to, if you get to that point. And we should remember that the vast majority of people have a mild or moderate illness and never get to the point of needing a ventilator. But that is a good point, that that is the severe end of the spectrum, particularly for older adults. I'm going to let Dr. Eccles-Radke talk about the medications, but everybody should be crystal clear that azithromycin is an antibiotic. It is not a viral treatment. There is some hope about some other things, but none of it's proven. Caitlin, do you want to respond a little bit more to those medication questions?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. There has been, as you mentioned, a lot of press about the hydroxychloroquine plus azithromycin or hydroxychloroquine alone. And I think some of the question around azithromycin is, even though it's an antibiotic and the coronavirus is a virus, is there an anti-inflammatory property to it that could be helping? But really, we have nothing that has proven this. And again, the hydroxychloroquine should only be used in specific medical decision making. So asking your doctor to prescribe it for you without indication, just to have it on hand, I would not recommend. And then zinc and some of these other things I've seen, like vitamin C, et cetera, really just don't hold any weight at this point in terms of any medical data. What we're doing at Hennepin County is we have a team of doctors who have helped. I'm doing more of the administrative infection prevention work, but we have a team of other infectious disease, hospitalists, ICU doctors who have put together sort of a treatment algorithm, looking at all these medicines and keeping up to date with, every new piece of literature, research, data, to make sure that we're constantly reevaluating and treating people as best we can with what we know works. But as of now, none of those have been proven.
All right, I tell you what, we need to take a quick break here, but again, inviting our listeners to stay with us and join us either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. As we head to this quick break, a reminder that we here in the Twin Cities and surrounding areas of CCO land, in the midst of a winter weather advisory, here in the metro Twin Cities, maybe the total daytime snow accumulation, 3 to 5 inches possible this Easter Sunday, and we could pick up another inch or so overnight. Going to be a windy day today, tonight, and tomorrow as well. The high tomorrow near 39. Again, another windy day. Right now, light snow is falling. Twin City temperature reading 33 degrees. We'll be right back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to Healthy Matters this Easter Sunday morning. We have callers, we have texters, doctors, and probably could go on for more. As a matter of fact, let me mention too, I just learned, Dr. Hilden, you'll be on with Paul Douglas later on this morning, right?
Indeed, I'll do another just a couple of segments from the 9 to 9:30 hour, and then I think they're going to broadcast a beautiful Easter Sunday church service following that. So I am going to talk to the listeners just a little bit more in the 9 o'clock hour.
Very good. In the meantime, we have callers of our own and texters as well. Let's get back to the phones. I think Bill in St. Paul is still waiting. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
What's your question, please?
I just have some information for Dr. David. I just caught the last part of your program last week, and I am out of breath real easy. I can barely make it around one block, and we've walked for a long time. And last week you mentioned for out of breath that you could have fluid in the lungs. And this week I went into an urgent care, had an x-ray taken, and they confirmed that it probably wasn't fluid in the lung, outside the lung, in the chest cavity. So I have an appointment tomorrow for a pulmonary occlusion, and hopefully, but I just wanted to call and thank you for getting me on the right track.
Bill, thank you for your call. It goes to show that that the human condition carries on even in COVID. And if you aren't breathing well, it's a good idea to have that checked out. It may or may not be this COVID thing, but it was a good thing that you got it checked. And, Bill, I'm so glad that you were able to do that. And you have my best wishes as you get that whole thing figured out. And I hope you're feeling better real soon. Thank you so much for checking in with us.
Before we grab some more text messages, I think Patty in Minneapolis is still on the line. Patty, are you still with us this morning? Hello, Patty. Patty must be gone. Somebody, a texter says, and boy, we have a bunch of these, please talk again about all symptoms of coronavirus, because now allergy season, people may be confused between the two.
That is true. You know, there are some things that overlap for different conditions like allergies and coronavirus. In general, coronavirus often manifests with things like fever and chills, cough, sore throat, trouble breathing. Also can have body aches, just like you'd think about with the flu. Some people will get some diarrhea and some gastrointestinal symptoms. And then one sort of odd one that we sometimes see is loss of taste and smell due to how it affects in the nose and even potentially in the brain. And so you may not have all of those symptoms. You may have a few of them. Oh, and I forgot to mention headache as well. Like a bad headache is one thing that people will often see. But it is a little hard to distinguish between allergies and coronavirus. So if you're having any sort of symptoms, I would say, you know, stay home, stay away from people, and just see if anything else progresses. If it really is just sort of your normal allergy symptoms and it persists and nothing has changed, you're probably okay. It's probably nothing. But just to know to keep an eye on that and stay away from others while you're sorting that out.
In texture says this, let me quote it. In other countries, your temperature is taken before going into public buildings and areas. Why are we not doing that?
You know, that's a tough one. It's something we thought about at the hospital, too, as we screen employees who are coming in the front door. And we actually are not checking their temperatures because initially everyone thought that people all had a fever or chills with coronavirus. But what we found is that's not always the case. There are some people who have the disease and don't get fevers from it, interestingly. So the question is how reliable is a temperature check at one point? And the answer is we're not sure it is super reliable. So that's why we're not doing it, at least at the hospital. I can't speak for other places.
We have a few texts about people scheduled for various exams, one a colonoscopy, another a regular glaucoma test. Do you recommend, or would you recommend they cancel those for a while? What's happening with people who are, you know, scheduled to undergo these various tests?
I think it depends on the reason for why someone's scheduled. So what we're recommending at Hennepin Healthcare is that if you have an elective procedure, so this is, let's say this is your 10-year colonoscopy, you have no symptoms, you're feeling fine, it's just a screening test, then I would just forego that for now and reschedule it down the road when things sort of pick back up. If you're getting a colonoscopy because you're having some sort of symptoms or you're ill or they're following something from, you know, a polyp or a colon cancer standpoint, then for sure you should go in. But I really think, in general, talking to your doctor and your clinic about the reason behind the procedure and is it necessary right now or can it wait is the most important thing.
We have about a minute or so to go, doctors. So let me grab this one last text in quickly. With the governor talking about the ability to increase ICU beds during the pandemic, how does the medical community plan on staffing the increased ICU beds?
Maybe I could take that one. We have a surge plan in the hospital, and we talk to all the other big hospital systems in the state of Minnesota. So we're actually as coordinated as you could possibly be. We have an incident command system. We have a plan for increasing the physical space of our beds. We have a plan for ventilators, and we even have a plan for calling in nurses and doctors. So I'm actually quite confident that we are ready to go in that. It's a good text, but at least in the state of Minnesota, the coordination in our state, the governor's leadership, I have to say, has been superb. We're kind of ready to go in the state of Minnesota. And I know we're running out of time, Denny. I just want to say that when you work with me at the hospital like Dr. Eccles-Radke, sometimes you get called in on an Easter morning. And so they are my friends and my colleagues and experts. I just want to say publicly to thank you for Caitlin. I owe you dinner at some point for getting up and helping us out on the show.
Oh, happy to help. And I'll take you up on that dinner.
All right. Thank you both. We'll have be back with more Healthy Matters next week here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.